With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. This year marks the 50th anniversary of John Steinbeck's The Grapes of Wrath, the story of a Dust Bowl family's odyssey to the migrant camps of California. Woody Guthrie was so moved that he put the story to song.
Tom Jude got out of that old McAllister pen. There he got his parole.
It was hailed from the floor of the Senate as a vile, one of the vilest books ever written by an American.
That's Robert DeMott, a Steinbeck scholar from Ohio University and editor of Working Days, a journal Steinbeck kept as he labored on the novel. In the mid-1930s, Steinbeck wrote 7 articles about the migrants for a progressive newspaper in San Francisco.
After he did that series of articles called The Harvest Gypsies, which appeared in October of 1936, he then decided he wanted to write a novel. Sometime in 1937, he began what he later called The Oklahomans.
But Steinbeck abandoned that attempt and started another, a satire called L'Affaire Lettuceburg, which he later destroyed.
He felt that that satire, which would of course naturally have to be have a certain comedic quality about it, probably trivialized the increasingly tragic implications of the workers' plight in California.
In May 1938, John Steinbeck sat down and in longhand wrote the novel that became The Grapes of Wrath. His then-wife Carol suggested the title, which comes from the Civil War song, The Battle Hymn of the Republic. And Robert DeMott says Steinbeck thought the title was brilliant.
He wrote in the journal, the novel has being at last.
Viking has published a 50th anniversary edition of John Steinbeck's The Grapes of Wrath. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim.
The thing he liked to do best in life was to write. He was only happy when he was writing.
Elaine Steinbeck talking about her late husband, John. This year has been marked by all sorts of events to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Steinbeck's The Grapes of Wrath.
That's one of the best things I can say about my husband. He never lost the touch of his touch with the people he first lived with and the people he first wrote about.
1962 was the year of the Cuban Missile Crisis, and John and Elaine were in their home on Long Island.
I was making breakfast, and I said, why don't you turn on the television or radio and find out if the world is still turning? And the first words we heard, just by accident, were this morning John Steinbeck was awarded the Nobel Prize for Literature.
Steinbeck always said he didn't deserve the Nobel, but he and Elaine went to Stockholm to claim it.
My husband's always described as a two-fisted drinker, but he said to me several weeks before I went over, will you do something with me in Stockholm? And I said, sure, what? And he said, with the possible exception of Pearl Buck, I think every American writer who's ever gotten the Nobel Prize has spent those 5 days there pretty boozed up. Would you go with me and we not drink a drop? And I'll be representing myself, my country, and my profession.
While the Nobel is presented for the body of an author's work, most people see The Grapes of Wrath as John Steinbeck's masterpiece. Elaine Steinbeck notes that 100,000 copies of the book are sold in paperback each year. Viking has issued a 50th anniversary edition, as well as Working Days, a journal Steinbeck kept while writing the novel. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. John Steinbeck spent 5 months in 1938 methodically writing his masterpiece, The Grapes of Wrath. As he did, he kept a journal. That journal has been published as Working Days, edited by Steinbeck scholar Robert DeMott.
There's a resonant chord that runs through it all the time, and that is Steinbeck complaining that I'm just not up to finishing this novel. I just don't have the talent. This is an astonishing irony, because here was a man not only writing at the absolute top of his form as a novelist, but also producing one of the monumental novels of 20th century American literature.
The final entry in the journal came on October 26, 1938.
His whole comment on it, I find this wonderfully understated and ironic, I suppose. Finish this day, and I hope to God it's good.
As the publication date for The Grapes of Wrath approached, Steinbeck was still uncertain.
He knew it was powerful. He knew it wouldn't pull any punches, but he did not feel that it would be a popular book. So he warned Viking Press, and he warned his agent as well, not to oversell it.
The Grapes of Wrath was an instant bestseller in 1939 and kept on selling. To date, it has sold close to 4.5 million copies. Robert DeMott says the controversy over the book's account of the migrant workers in California so dismayed Steinbeck that he almost gave up writing fiction.
He was a man better equipped for failure than he was for success.
Viking has reissued The Grapes of Wrath in a 50th anniversary edition with an introduction by Studs Terkel. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. John Steinbeck had been divorced by his second wife and in 1948 moved back to a cottage built by his father in Pacific Grove, California. Elaine Steinbeck is John's widow.
John had just come back to this little house to lick his wounds and his sadness, and there was an old man who lived next door, and he had shouted out to John and said, aren't you Ernest Steinbeck's son? And John said, "Yes, sir, I am." And the man said, "Been away?"
The old man had no idea that John Steinbeck was the celebrated author of The Grapes of Wrath. It was while living in Pacific Grove that he met Elaine, then the wife of actor Zachary Scott. John and Elaine married in 1950 and moved to New York, where John could be cranky when he wrote.
Everything was too noisy, no matter how quiet it was. He was like, I suppose, most writers. He was easy to live with when the writing was going well, and hard to live, hell to live with when it was going badly.
Steinbeck was an amateur inventor and tinkerer.
He was a whittler. He covered things in leather, and he made things of wood. He said after he'd worked all day using his mind, he liked to use his hands.
John Steinbeck died in 1968.
When he was dying, he said to me, "What's the best time we ever had together?" And I said, "You tell me first." And he said, "No, you would cheat and agree with me." And I said, "All right, I'll write it on a piece of paper." He was taking oxygen. He really was dying. And I put it in his hand, and I said, "All right, what's the best time we ever had together?" And he said, "The year in Somerset." And I said, "Open your hand." And I had written Somerset.
Elaine Steinbeck. This year marks the 50th anniversary of John Steinbeck's The Grapes of Wrath. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. When John Steinbeck's story of migrant workers, The Grapes of Wrath, was published in 1939, it sparked immediate controversy, and part of it was over its ending, in which a young woman gives the milk from her breast to a starving man. Steinbeck's scholar, Robert DeMott.
The novel was envisioned from the very beginning, on Steinbeck's part, with that last scene of Rose of Sharon saving that starving man.
Robert DeMott is the editor of a journal Steinbeck kept as he wrote The Grapes of Wrath, which has been published by Viking as Working Days. DeMott examined Steinbeck's original manuscript, written in a ledger book.
Because his handwriting was so tiny, he was able to get as many as 1,300 words on a single ledger page. It sort of underscored or undergirded the sense of intensity that he wanted for that novel.
The right wing savagely attacked Steinbeck after the book's publication.
But Steinbeck wrote to a friend of his and said, "The Associated Farmers are after me, and I am going to turn all this information over to J. Edgar Hoover, and he'll protect me." Well, what Steinbeck didn't realize was that J. Edgar Hoover had already branded him one of the leading dissidents in the West.
But Steinbeck's masterpiece, The Grapes of Wrath, is 50 years old this year, and is still being read.
As long as there are issues of drought, foreclosure, displacement, erosion, any way you want to talk about it, of human beings and human dignity, whatever it is, Steinbeck's novel speaks to that.
Wherever little children are hungry and cry, wherever people ain't free, and wherever men are a-fightin' for their rights, that's where I'm a-gonna be, Ma. That's where I'm a-gonna be.
With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim.